Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Rob Legend Show on blogtalkradio.com. Log on or call in at 773-897-3989 to speak on the hottest topic.
It's going down, baby!
So log on, tune in, and turn up.
Let's go!
The Rob Legend Show is on your radio.
The Rob Legend Show is absolutely on your radio. Man, I am so sorry I'm starting out late. Had a few technical issues and everything, but I'm online, man. I know some of you guys have probably already done called into the show and already hung up for the evening, but trust me and believe me, the show must go on. It got to go on. I am your host, Rob Legend, and I'm definitely want to make sure that I touch bases with my listeners for this day before the holiday, man. I mean, tomorrow is a holiday in the United States of America, Thanksgiving, man. It's when families and friends get together and eat a whole lot of food. Everybody get excited about all the food they're eating, and they get all plump and juicy and sit around and play games and tell jokes and remember. You know, that's important, I think. You know, maybe Thanksgiving is not the thing that we should be concerned about when it comes to, you know, the state of the reason people do it was because of the pilgrims. You know, got together with the natives and they had a big picnic and they treated the natives so nicely after that. And it was all a big kumbaya. But you and I both know, as history tell it, the pilgrims took all they could take. And then when they couldn't take any more, they took the rest of it. And the natives ended up either in slavery or they ended up on, on plantations in their very own land. So maybe it wasn't a good dinner after all for the natives to get together with the Europeans, because as we already know, like I said, history speaking wise, they definitely took that thing to a whole nother level, to a point where the people are not even inheriting their own land. Their children are not being raised on the very land that they have raised their families on forever. I mean, so, but we can't dwell on that, right? We got to look for that silver lining in everything that's going on. We got to look for the positive. So maybe there's some positive that came out of it. I mean, just maybe you and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for all the things that took place or transpired in the past. You know, maybe, and maybe we would be. So we don't know. So that's the way things go. That's the way history tells the story. That's how history, you know, brings everything into fruition, where it is history, you know. But anyway, I am actually doing this thing in transit. I can't believe I let time slip away from me. I got too far away from the studio. Got busy working on some things. Went to visit a few people. Check on some people and everything, support some folks and what's going on in their lives. And now, you know, I let time catch up with me or slip up on me and everything, to a point where that I'm late getting to the Rob Legend Show. And like I said before, I definitely am apologizing if you guys have tuned in and missed the beginning of the show. But we're 30 minutes into the show. And I think that what I sent out to you guys is good, positive stuff. You know, what we're talking about is good, and it is positive, and it's important. So, you know, let's talk about it. And I particularly want to make this show about what's going on with the medical industry, man. What's going on with the medical industry as it relates to people of color? And in particularly, I want to talk about what is happening with the medical industry in relation to black women. Because as I put in the promo, it looks like, and there is supporting data and some articles have been written about it that suggest that, you know, black women do not get the same amount of attention or consideration when they go to the medical industry or medical facilities or doctors complaining about certain symptoms that's going on with their bodies. And from what the article suggests, is that doctors don't take black women as serious as they take, you know, their counterparts. I don't know how true it is. Of course, I'm not a woman, so hopefully the ladies, you ladies, y'all tune into the show tonight, and you give me your feedback on that, give me your what you think about it. Do you think you get the same treatment or adequate treatment from your medical provider, your healthcare provider, your physician, the facilities you go to when you have things going on with your body? I mean, talk to me. Somebody just tune in, talk to me, let me know what you think about the subject tonight. And in the meantime, don't go anywhere. I'm going to take a brief, very, very brief, and I'll be right back.
There are times I didn't want to bother you. You were at work all night, I didn't want to complain. And I realized the compromise that love once made. I'm holding on for the future, some more better days with you.
Welcome to another edition of the Rob Legend Show. I am getting started a little bit later than I normally do. Got caught up doing the things that people do when they got things to do. And bit off more time than I should have bitten off and find myself arriving at the Rob Legend Show later than I normally would. And this is something serious. I need to basically spank myself for doing what I normally do not do. But then again, what's normal, right? What's normal? You know, but there's a different set of guidelines that we use to determine what is normal. So, hey, I'm glad you guys are tuning in. Let's get started. Let's see what's going on. It is Wednesday, man. Wednesday again. It's Wednesday in America. Everywhere in America, it's hump day, man. and you and I are sitting down at the virtual round table. That is the Rob Legend Show. And you are invited to invite your family and friend to be a part of the conversation. All they got to do is dial in 773-897-3989 and be part of the conversation. Tonight, we are talking about black women. There is a serious, serious life or death crisis going on in America when it comes to black mothers and their babies. Black women in America and black babies, there is a serious life or death crisis going on in this country. If you don't care, go ahead and tune it out. You know, do what a lot of us do when we don't want to hear the truth, when we don't want to have the information in order to make an informed situation, we tune it out. Or we declare the person giving us information, giving us the wrong information because it didn't come from, you know, that somebody like that.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
If the information don't come from someone that looks like somebody other than somebody that looks like you, we tend to not, you know, want to accept information. I have got you guys tuned in from on Facebook Live. This is another Wednesday, man, and it's exciting as usual for me because I do get an opportunity to sit down at this virtual round table, at the head of this virtual round table. That is the Rob Legend Show, and discuss the issues and the things, the problems and the situations, the circumstances that affect each and every one of us on a regular basis. It's stuff that we either need to take serious or take more serious. There's some things I want to definitely get into because, like I said, way too many black women are checking in to hospitals and not checking out. Too many sisters are going to their doctors and complaining about symptoms and are ignored and in many cases misdiagnosed and thus they are mistreated. Doctor prescribed drugs to black women almost like they are testing the drugs on black women. Almost like they have this, you know, treat black women like they are test rats. And mice, in a sense. So tune in, man. Talk to me. If you or a family member have gone to the hospital or gone to your doctor, being a black woman, and have not gotten treated properly or was misdiagnosed or, you know, doctor didn't pay attention to the symptoms that you described to the doctor, and he came in and touched here and poked there and probably asked you a couple of questions and then left and then came back with a prescription for you. If you have had that happen to you, you know, dial into the show and tell me about it. Dial into the Rob Legend Show tonight, 773-897-3989, and tell me about your medical experience as of lately, because there is, like I said, there's some serious articles out there, and I've shared those articles on Facebook, and I'm going to share them again. There's some articles out there that talks about how black women are not getting the medical treatment. Even when they go to their doctor, the doctors are not giving them the adequate amount of treatment that they should be getting. And like I said, they get misdiagnosed. And I also shared on Facebook, one of the tragedies that happened very close to me, very within my own household, within my own immediate family, with my mother, right? I shared the story on Facebook that my mom, who of course lived in Millersville, Georgia, and she had been attending with this physician for years. My mom, had hypertension, high blood pressure. But other than that, she was fine. But, you know, her doctor changed her medication. And as a result of it, she started, you know, not feeling well. You know, she started complaining about, you know, pain in her arm. She started complaining about shortness of breath. She was complaining about, feeling strange and odd after she started taking this new blood pressure medicine. Okay. So naturally, if you start to feel bad after you change the medicine, naturally you'll go back to that physician, right? To say, hey, doc, I mean, you know, this medicine making me feel bad. You know, this stuff is hurting me. I'm not feeling so great anymore. I don't have the energy that I had. I have this shortness of breath. Something is not right, doc. My mom went to her doctor to only have the doctor's office give her, this was on a Friday. She went on a Friday. They gave her an appointment to come back Tuesday of the following week. Now, mind you, she is there complaining about all of the classic symptoms of a heart attack. But the doctor's office so greedy, want to make money off appointments, that they don't do what they should have done, which was recommend you go directly, immediately. Matter of fact, let me call you in an ambulance to come take you over to the ER, to the emergency room, because you are describing the symptoms of a heart attack. To that sadness, that hurt, that pain. My mom passed away that Monday, and she never made her Tuesday appointment, okay? And I truly believe that if my mom had gotten the proper attention when she went to her doctor, my mom could very well be still alive today. Could very well be still loving her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren now. If her doctor, who she trusted her life with, had given her the proper care that she entrusted in him. Now, again, if you call into the Rob Legend Show, I mean, seriously, if you're listening on Facebook Live, just call in 773-897-3989. Be a part of the conversation. If you've had tragedies in your family where, you know, when it comes to medical, you know, call in. Let's talk about it. I want to hear from you. In the meantime, listen to some groove. You know what I mean? Don't go anywhere.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Come on.
Well, what happens if a generation embraces it? Come on, tell me.
Here I am.
Your
thank you.
You I belong. I give myself to you.
Welcome back to another edition of the Rob Legend Show. I just had to get into that moment You know what I mean? I had to get into that song for a moment because it takes me to, I think it takes me closer to where we are in the season and where we are. We as people who are spiritual based people, we are people who are grounded in everything that is, we have to find a way to reconnect, to ground ourselves to that base that we tend to get ripped away from all so many times, so often, you know. So when you play songs or you listen to music or when you listen to people speak about the duty and the bounty of the heart and the things that you're experiencing in the world that you live in, you share those things that people are able to find the courage and the strength to do more than just survive. I think my people, black people, who I talk to more than anything else because I know more about being black than I know about being anything else. I can say it without any kind of refrain that I know more about being black or being a man of color or being a man that is not Caucasian, being a man that is determined by all the rules that we set in place today by society as being a black man. I am that I am, okay? And I'm telling you that I know, even though I have tried, look at me, guys. I've tried over the years to reject many of things. I have tried over the years to step away from much of the things that I was raised to believe. And for the most part, I have. I don't subscribe to the same way some people look at even scripture. I don't subscribe to the same way some people look at Christianity and different faiths around the world. I just don't look at it the same way anymore, and I don't put the same amount of weight that other people place on it. And it's just that simple. But I think it's true for all indigenous people to have a connection to something greater than self. Okay? And I think it's true around the world. We have some type of connection to something, some power, some being that's greater than us. And people call it different things all around the world, right? I don't want to talk about much on the level of what's happening in the world around us as far as politics. today. I've spent the last month or month and a half talking about politics. That's not going to happen tonight. I want to talk about what's happening within my community. And when I say my community, I'm talking about the community of people that look like me. I am concerned. I am concerned about how my people are being treated in this world. Now, I was listening to a pastor speak the other day, and I also was listening to this prophet speak the other day. And he said, and these both of these basically said the same thing, is that we find ourselves people of color, people of the earth, black people, spirit-based people, you know, carbonated people. We are in a world now where it appears that we have no real power. And one of the things that came out of the conversation that you and I have talked about in the past, we both agree is disturbing, is that every group on the planet that comes to America, they come and get their money, their foot up, from black people. That should disturb us. That we should be bothered by the fact that every group, the Jewish people did it first, and they've been doing it and they're still doing it. If you want to be successful in show business, whether that be music, TV, whatever, some Jewish person have their name on it. You had to go by their way of getting it. Somewhere in that mix, so the Jews are involved in you and your success. And it's success to the point where you become surrounded by conditions and contracts and other people to the point where that you end up not even in the long run having what you think you have. You end up not having what you think you have. A lot of people especially in the early years of the music business, who had these Jewish producers and managers and club owners and circuit managers, a lot of black people with talent died broke, died poor, destitute. I mean, don't take my word for it, look it up. So it's like they have this cute little system in place where that black people, you know, yeah, we can have the remnant or the what look like success, but there's always some system that they got in place to remind you that you're not in charge. You're not in power. You're not in control as much as you think you are, because they show us every day, any day, that whoever we think we got as somebody we can look upon as positive and powerful, they can take them down. Now, you know, many of us grew up on, you know, the comical back of Bill Cosby. And he was an icon in the black community. We respected him. And maybe he did do the things they say he did. I don't know. I wasn't there, so I can't say with certainty that he did the things they say he did. But the fact of the matter is, with all of Bill Cosby's money that he had, Bill Cosby didn't really catch any real problems until Bill Cosby tried to move himself into an economic position where he can actually start to change the economic success of other people, other black people. Bill Cosby wanted to what? What was it? He wanted to own a, what did he want to own? His own TV network or something along those lines? And then Bill Cosby started catching hell. We praise Oprah, and I think Oprah is a great lady, great woman. But truth of the matter is that it was a Jewish man, Jewish people that have basically guided her career. Everybody come into the black community and make their money. Every immigrant that come off a ship come in and make their money off the black community. Until we figure out how to start producing the things that we use, the things that we want, and the things that we need, we will always be at the beckoning call of other people. Black women, say you want some long, straight hair. Well, ha-ha, guess what? Huh, the Koreans got you. They got some long, straight hair. So they open up all these beauty salons, all these beauty shops all over the black community, selling products that was that only black women gonna buy. Come on. And they got the market so controlled between themselves that you as a black person who used the black products can't even get in the same damn business and compete. You can't even compete with them for the product that you use. They black market you out. You can't even do it. There is no way we should have to go to any other nationality to get the products and the services that we need and want. There's no way. But everybody moves into the black community that are non-black and make their fortune off us. The Jewish people, the Europeans come along and, oh, you guys need housing? Oh, they put you in housing. Put you in those apartments, in the projects. They go and build the projects initially for themselves, make them nice for themselves, and they spend years in themselves keeping you out. Then over a period of time, they move out. And then they turn around and rent them to you after they've used them up and left bed bugs all up in them. They rent them out to black people then. Now they're good enough for black folks because they no longer, they run down for us now, so they're good enough for black people. And they bring you in and you think that you'll come up and you up in the, and you think that you have arrived because now some wealthy person, white person, used to live here. So now you live here. You've come up. But did you come up? Because if you got a landlord, then your landlord still control your destiny. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you want a house? We can get you a house. We get you a house with no money down. We even passed some laws through the Federal Housing Agency, FHA, and we can get you a house with little or no money down, as little as possible. But I tell you what we're going to do, though. We're going to add this PMI insurance that you got to pay on top of that. And that PMI insurance, what it's designed to do is that if you default on your mortgage, then the PMI is going to cover that mortgage. But it's not going to cover you. It's just going to pay off that mortgage. Uh-oh. A lot of people of color lost their houses in the last 10 years, last cycle. A lot of people lost a whole lot of everything because people were greedy and people were doing things to ensure that people like you and I never reach that position where we are in control of our own destiny. And it's not about us trying to be the ruling class. It's really about us actually trying to put ourselves in a position where we control our own destiny. Because right now, if you are a black person, believe it or not, you don't control your own destiny. Not even Rob Legend. I don't control my own destiny. I have a couple of mortgages. I have a couple of cars that I pay for. You know, I have a daughter in college. I have a son going through middle school, grade school. You know, I don't control as much as I think I do. And I show up to get a paycheck. Somebody pay me to do things. And everything that I do, everything that I am, Everything that I aspire to have is dictated by the size of the check that I get. And I submit that you and I are probably not different in those regards. We are controlled by our paycheck. And even as much as your paycheck you think you actually control, you don't. Because you got so many things going on that takes that paycheck many times before you even get it. Before you get it, Uncle Sam and all of his cousins smack you in the head. You may start out with a $1,000 check, gross, but by the time Sam and his buddies and his cronies get a piece of that pie, you may have $700 net. Oh, by the way, that $700 does not belong to you because you have a mortgage or rent. So you got to pay that. And you also need transportation. So that's another piece off that $700. And the house that you own, you got to pay the taxes and the insurance on that. That's another piece. You got to pay the utilities and your cable and your cell phone bills and all these other bills that all take a piece of that $700 that you thought you had. At the end of everybody getting a piece of that pie, piece of that $700 that you have, how much money you think you really have? If you, like many black Americans, you have already been forced to borrow your next paycheck and your paycheck after that, probably your next 5 years of paycheck has already been borrowed. And if you own a house and you did a 30-year mortgage, then you've already borrowed your next 30 years of paychecks. Or at least that piece that pays the mortgage anyway. That's reality, right? But why is it that we feel like we can't do the same thing? Is it because it's impossible? Is it because it's hard? Is it because we don't know how? Truth of the matter is, many of the things that are being done to the people of color as far as the economic toeholds and its constraints and the restrictions and the things they put in place to ensure that you never reach a certain level, we know how to do. We know how to overcome it. And I know they say, well, all we got to do is just come together. Well, maybe. Maybe we do need to come together. All right, what are we going to do when we come together? We're going to have a party. We're going to party out. We're going to come together and have a party. Hey, party over here. Yay. Party over there. Yeah, we're going to have a party. Nah. We know how to party. Can't nobody on the planet party better than black folks. Just throw some music. Matter of fact, all we need is some pans, some finger snapping, some feet stumping, hand clapping, and man, we can party. Hey, party over here. No, no, party over there. Yeah, yeah, party over here. Yeah, we can party. But, man, let's get together and put our coins together and go and buy this piece of property over here. Man, I ain't got no money. Man, I don't trust them. You know how people is, black people, man. You know you can't trust them with anything. Oh, but wasn't that the same person you was getting down, stomping the floor with, partying, grinding on the floor with? Hey, hey, party over here. No, no, party over there. Hey, yo, yeah. That's what I'm talking to my child. Yeah, right here. You want to do that? But I tell you what. There's a piece of property over there that the city is trying to get rid of as a tax to get this, you know, so they can collect taxes on it later on. So they're basically trying to get the property away. And all they need is for somebody to come in and put down $10,000 and the property will go to them. Well, I don't have $10,000, but I got $250. So what I got to do? I got to find a few other people with $250, and we put together our $250. And guess what? We can get that piece of property and do whatever we want to do with it within, you know, the guidelines of that city, within the ordinance, right? We can do whatever we want to do with it. My point here in the exercise of what I'm talking about here is the fact that we as people of color can do more than have a party. We can do more than spend all our coins to go and buy that flashy car so we can get more girls. You know, guys, you know how we do it. We get that flashy car and we become holding to that car note so we can turn women head. And women like, hey, I like that car. I want to ride in that car. Brother be like, yeah, you can ride, baby. You can get in that bed, boy. But you know what? You can ride the car now, but I'm going to be riding that all day long. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That car. Let's ride. Right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't play. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So, brothers, we go buy the cars. And we tie ourselves up. But very few of us are doing the thing that is necessary for us as a community to raise ourselves to an economic force. When I start hearing the statistics about the spending power of people of color, it is ridiculous. It's in the billions. We spend billions of dollars. And little to none of the money goes back into our community. We are basically a bag of sugar. And all day, everybody come along and turn the bag of sugar upside down and empty more and more sugar out of our community, and none of that sugar come back. We got to do better. Can we do better? Somebody talk to me. Can we do better? What we got to do to change the mindset that is so prevalent across our community? We can't be mad with the Indian guy, the Pakistani man that comes in and owns all the convenience stores. What's stopping one of us from owning a convenience store? What's stopping us from having a chain of convenience stores? You know, I got friends that only want to sleep in a 4-star and 5-star hotel. Why the hell can't you own a 4- and 5-star hotel? I mean, really? Come on, man.
I think it's about accessibility to information. Education and being able to access the information to get things done. I think those are some of the things we're missing.
You might be right. You might be right. Did you know, and I beg this because I don't know if many people of color know this. Once upon a time, before Jim Crow, after slavery, all of the skilled labor belonged to people of color. All of it. More than 95% of all the skilled labor, bricklayers, carpenters, plumbers, people who built the Washington, D.C., built New York, they was black people, slaves, black people. We had
what happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
Jim Crow went into place. Jim Crow came along and basically legalized a sharecropping type plantation type slavery for many years after that, and they created unions and other things to basically keep black people out of the market, and then they opened the floodgates to immigrants from Europe to come over here, and the black people had to, in many cases, train their white counterparts to be their boss. Oh, y'all never heard that happening, have you? I mean, we in corporate in 2018. You think that still happens? Do you think that still happens in corporate to 2018? Or even in factories and businesses across the country now? You think that still don't happen?
Mm-hmm. It does.
I get asked all the time to teach somebody else that don't look like me, younger, what I know how to do. That is, and we don't realize, and people don't realize that is, see, that's Jim Crow. That came about under Jim Crow. That is still Jim Crow. People think Jim Crow was a person, but no, Jim Crow wasn't a person. But that's where it came from. And it still goes on today. If you work a job or have worked a job in the last 10, 20 years, and your boss have come in and asked you to train somebody else that didn't look like you, I want to hear from you. Call into the show, 773-897-3989. I know you guys are checking me out on Facebook Live as I'm recording the show right now, but you know, dial into the show, 773-897-3989. If you have experienced someone asking you to give your skill set to somebody else, I want to talk about that because that's real. And it still happens today. Why?
Yeah. It's so common that I think that we even forget. I don't even think about talking about it anymore. It's just become policies and practice. It's almost part of the whole practice because they've laid the blueprints for so long that people think they don't even notice. They don't even realize what's actually happening. So it's like you want me to teach somebody else what I spent years to develop for myself so you can just pass me over. And, you know, we've had many experiences where we've trained other people to, yeah, like you said, to become our boss, to be promoted ahead of us, or even to replace us. You know, they you know, you have people that train other people not knowing that 2 months down the line they give you the boot. So this is something that's a general practice across, you know, corporate and any other places. It's not only, doesn't stop at corporate America. Like you said, something
right.
That started way back then.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I agree. I don't want to lose track of the subject for tonight. I really want to get into my main topic. Thank you, Chantal. I really want to get into the main topic. A friend brought this
You're
subject
welcome.
To me. Brought this subject to me, and I wanted to talk to you, ladies. And I shared an article in the New York Times about the black mother and baby death, maternal mortality in this country. We're just talking about America. And the question is being asked, why America's black mothers and babies are in life or death crisis, right? And it seems to suggest that black women are not getting the adequate amount of care and consideration when they go to the doctors in the hospital complaining about certain symptoms with their body. It's, what's being said is that black women are almost being dismissed, and many times the doctors are quick to diagnose their symptoms as nothing to worry about, and many times send them home, and when they don't send them home, they rush to give them a prescription for a drug that has many times caused more pain, more issues for black women than what they initially came in for in the first place. And my question to you ladies, because I'm not a lady, so I can't really vouch, relate to it. And the only thing I can think about is, I've shared the story early on about my own mother who trusted her life to her physician for years. He recommended a change in her blood pressure medicine and put her on something else. She started experiencing a tremendous amount of discomfort. She started exhibiting all of the classic symptoms of a heart attack and went to her doctor's office on a Friday to see her doctor to let him know that she was feeling bad. And instead of them recognizing what was going on with her or taking the time to give a care about what's going on with her, they set her appointment to come back the following Tuesday rather than telling her what you're experiencing are classic symptoms of a heart attack. Go directly to the hospital. Never mind. Let me call an ambulance for you now because you are in heart attack. You are in crisis mode right now. But instead, they sent her home with an appointment to come back Tuesday. My mother, and I feel the pain from this still to this day, my mother passed away on that Monday night. She passed away on that Monday morning, actually, because it was a Sunday. Yeah, Monday. She passed away on Sunday, Monday morning. So she didn't make her appointment with her trusted physician. However, she did make her appointment with her creator. And I'm not happy about that. So I need you ladies to talk to me. If you've experienced what these ladies are talking about in this article or what I've laid out for you, talk to me. Tell me what's really going on.
Hey, Rob, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. With women, it's interesting. With women, we can go into like the ER, for example, and we can be sitting there waiting and we're sick, and you have quite a few women who have died right in the ER.
Isn't that disturbing?
And so I tell women, because I read it. I read it in an article one time. Hold on just a sec. Okay, sorry. And so what the article said was that with women, you can come in and we may present with, you know, for example, maybe a pain in your arm. I forget which one that, you know, is indicative of a heart attack. And they'll have us sitting out there in back of somebody who can't breathe, maybe someone who's bleeding, maybe someone with a high fever. Well, while a man will walk in with the same symptoms, they'll take him right in instantly because they recognize it. Oh, my gosh, this guy might be having a heart attack. So what the article said is that with women, you need to go into the hospital with an advocate. You need to bring one of your girlfriends with you, somebody who's going to say, no, we've been sitting here all of this time, and, you know, we ain't taking it. You know, she's been sitting here too long. You know, because she's sitting there and she's sick and she's being patient, and meanwhile they've forgotten about you. So nobody even knows that the symptoms you're presenting, you know, maybe you have a stomach ache, that's indicative of a woman having a heart attack. It may not be, but they have to rule it out. So it's actually a known thing. I read it in an article while I was sitting in the doctor's office.
It's more than that. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm sorry. My phone's been acting up. But it's way more than that. It goes back to specifically talking about black women. It goes back way back to what's the name of this doctor, the guy that operated on black women without anesthesia and, you know, discovered gynecology. I mean, he, you know, it's the whole thing that about us not being human and not seeing us as having pain like everyone else. And from a woman's perspective, to me, it just tells me that we need to be more educated about ourselves. And not expect anyone, because who's going to care about you more than you? And my motto is always be, to be thy own doctor. You should not rely on someone to tell you what's going on in your body. You should know instead. You know, I'm not saying not to go to a doctor, but we should be more aware of what's going on. You asked earlier about experiences that we had. I've had experience where a doctor tried to belittle and push what I said. I mean, I remember being pregnant and a doctor trying to force me to have a C-section. And, it was at that point that I had to use my knowledge to shut them down, because, you know, they want to give you information and they expect you to be ignorant. They expect you to be illiterate, not know what's best for you. I even shared a video where this guy made a video and say how much, you know, doctors in certain areas, they are misdiagnosing cancer to make money in black neighborhoods. You know how many black women they've diagnosed with breast cancer that did not have breast cancer, with colon cancer that did not die from two rounds of chemo, and the chemo end up killing them, because really, chemo is what kills you before the cancer does. The chemo will kill you first. So they make millions of dollars on us being illiterate and ignorant. So, yes, they're wrong. They're wrong for treating us that, like they are. But at the same time, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to care about ourselves more than other people need to care about us.
No matter what anybody says, if somebody is sick, they're sick. And they should be treated, you know, with just human decency. Although I can't help but to wonder, when you walk in, whether or not you're sized up to determine how much money we can make off of you. Because after all, nowadays, hospitals, they're just businesses.
It's all about the right insurance you have. If you have good insurance, they're going to rack it up.
It should be disturbing to every American in this country that when you call a medical institution or facility because you're having problems with your body, they stop you in mid-sentence and ask you for your freaking insurance information.
What happened to that oath? First, do no harm. you know, and if you're in pain and you have something happening, shouldn't it be more the priority be about your health apart from being on your pocket? I mean, it's all about the money. I mean, it's not even near anymore about care and taking care of people, and, you know, that should be priority, to take care of people and help them heal.
I hope you guys are sending out text messages to your lady friends and asking them to join the show, because I need black women to hear how incredible and how widespread what's going on in America when it comes to black women and getting adequate medical attention. Like Linda said, many women have died in the ER waiting to get medical treatment.
But let's talk about people that, you know, even famous. It doesn't matter. It's not even about how much money you got. Look what happened to Serena Williams. Look what happened to Serena. She almost died giving birth. And you know why she almost died? Because the doctor didn't believe what she did. She knows her body. She told them what was happening. They ignored her. She almost bled to death. So it's not like because she, you know, you say, well, if I'm rich, then I'm going to get better care. Even when you're rich, you're a black woman, you're still not going to be listened to. It's like, you know, hey, they push you aside. You don't matter. Your pain, well, you know, the thing is, it's not even that your pain don't matter. It's like, oh, you can take it. You know, like you can tolerate more than other women. Or you're not such a priority. I think every human being should be a priority. But you get pushed to the side. You know, you're not a priority. You can wait until you die. Like, there's this model that just passed away. She's a model, 4 children. She complained to a doctor. She just passed away, I think, a week ago or even recently. She just passed
Kim
away.
Kim Porter, Diddy's ex-girlfriend, passed
yes,
away.
Exactly.
Under
Thank
a
you.
Doctor's treatment. And she's under 50. She's 46 years old. I'm just speechless.
I'm
speechless.
What happened to Kim Porter was one of the things that sparked this conversation. People are talking like and starting to notice and starting to do some research and see, hey, black women are checking in, but they're not checking out. They're checking
well,
in,
you
and
know,
up, but they're not checking out healthy. They're not checking out.
Robert, the mortality rate for black women having babies, I mean, it's twice or more or higher. I read that article you posted. I read it it's an old article. But, you know, black women, this has been going on for a long time. That's why we started having midwives. Now they're wiping those away. That's why, you know, black women were dealing with midwives. Because, of course, we were not even given access. We could not go to the hospital. We didn't have hospitals. So we were taking care of ourselves. That's what was working for us. But if you look right now, compared to all other countries and as much technology that we have available, black women are going in with their babies. They're dying. Their baby's dying. Or their baby's dying. They're not making it. And you wonder, why is that? Because their babies are dying twice, double the time, the rate of mortality of any other ethnicity.
And it's,
that
you
should
know,
make
it's
the people like,
me.
That should be outrageous. That should make us mad.
You know, I shouldn't be bothered that not more black women are on the call tonight. Because women should be absolutely informed and irate about what's going on here. But I guess if it doesn't happen to you, then, you know, or you absorb it the way they assume that you being a black woman should absorb pain, no big deal because I'm a strong black woman, then, you know, maybe because this conversation is way too important for not more black women to be a part of this conversation. I've invited a lot of people to tune in tonight to be a part of this conversation. Matter of fact, I got my live Facebook Live going on right now, and I'm inviting the women that are listening in to the Facebook Live on Facebook to call into the show and tell us their experience dealing with doctors and hospitals as black women. You know, I want to know, did you get the best treatment that you could have? Did they consider you when you told them all the things that was going wrong with your body? I mean, if you're listening in on Facebook Live, just dial into the show. Let me hear from you. 773-897-3989. Be a part of the conversation. Take a seat at this virtual round table and let's talk about what's going on. And then we can maybe talk about what we can do to change those dynamics, because it can be changed, okay? It can be changed. Way too many black women are checking in, but they ain't checking out. You, as I said, you call the doctors, and they don't want to hear about your pain. They want to hear about your insurance card.
Robert, you know how you had a show a couple months ago? I think he's going full circle about that. We need to get our own stuff. We need to get our own doctors, our own hospitals. We need to get heard from people that's going to care. I mean, we keep trying to go to other people's stuff and expect them to care. I mean, you don't care. I mean, why should you care? You're looking for your own. You know, so why should you care?
The black family doctor has been run out of business in this country.
Yeah.
And he was run out of business by black people who felt like they would get better care from the white counterparts. It was one of those things that came out of desegregation, wherein that we are now free to spend our money with everybody except for ourselves. And that's exactly what we've done ever since. We have virtually stood still economically since desegregation happened. It's amazing to me that my parents, my father, who farmed pulpwood, you know, logging pulpwood, my mother did the little things she did and did some of the work she did and even helped him out. It's amazing to me that they was able to feed all of us and put clothes on all our backs. And we thought we were struggling, but the truth of the matter is I can never remember a time. I got older brothers, of course, that could probably remember something different. I can never remember a time where that wasn't something to eat. And believe me, you, if you got food, you're wealthy. When you don't have food, you're poor. Because as long as you can eat, you can get the other stuff because your body has strength to go get the other things. But today, with all the money that people make, they are still no better off than their parents and grandparents. We think we are, but financially speaking, we're not. Now, isn't that interesting? So, yeah, I remember our family doctor, Dr. Body. All the black people went to Dr. Body. Dr. Body was probably the wealthiest black person in Millersville. I'm going to ask my big brother, Wilbur. He's older than me, so he's been knowing it longer than me. Wilbur.
Yeah, I hear you, bro.
You remember Dr. Body? Everybody went to Dr. Body.
Yeah, that's true. But I didn't go to him very often. That was before my time when people actually started going to your doctor, you know?
Right.
I mean, that was after my time.
yeah, you're right. Now,
we
mom
took
and dad,
care of matters at home.
Yeah, mom, they did. We did take care of a lot of – there was a lot of home remedies that actually worked. But now you're not encouraged to not do home remedies. They want you to go and get a medical bill and go and get some go get insurance and have the medical facilities overbill the insurance company so they can turn around and take more of your money in your paycheck because they raise the premium. That's how it's
done. Yeah, for some reason, though, these days, okay, you can't just do the old remedies like you used to, okay, and they work. Our body, the makeup, the chemistry, all is different. And maybe that has a lot to do with the chemicals they're using on their foods and all their process nowadays, you know, and all. Back then, you didn't have all that. And your body wasn't already full of chemicals and crap, I guess. Now, because of all that, you know, you just can't do the things like you used to do in the old days.
I don't agree. I don't agree with her. The same remedies. No, sir. I believe that the same old remedies, they work just fine. I have three boys, and I can guarantee you, I have a room that's only dedicated to natural remedies. And the only time they go to the doctor is for a checkup. They never catch colds. They don't get sore throats or whatever they get every year. You're supposed to expect every winter to get all these people on antibiotics and all this stuff. I just do it the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way keeps them healthy. They're strong. I make sure that their body, they use the foods that, you know, God created to keep them strong and keep their antibodies up, their immune system strong, and they're healthy. So they're not coughing. They don't have green stuff coming out their nose. They still work. I think people don't take time anymore to do it because it's such a bother, right? We live such in a rush world that people don't take time to make tea, you know, to drink tea at night before they go to sleep or, you know, make certain things to have, you know, vitamin C, make some fresh orange juice that's not been pasteurized to get them some vitamin C. You know, some things
don't,
people
don't know
no
a lot
work.
About those things. You know, a lot of people don't know about those. When you walk in a dentist's office, you smell the cloves, you smell it. They are still using clove-based products. You know, it's a painkiller. You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, my mother would use, like if you have an ear ache or, you know, just so many different things. Some people go to like the homeopathic, you know, doctors because they, you know, use those different home remedies where you're not, you know, using something that'll fix one thing and break 15 others.
Amen.
Right.
Side effects.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you think about it. Just in the case of diabetes, they give you two drugs when they so-called diagnose you with diabetes. The first one messes you up to a point where you got to have the second one. And the second one you got to have for the rest of your life.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Well,
yep,
when you're
yep.
first diagnosed, okay, and all, it's a lifetime thing from that point on, okay, as far as the doctors are concerned.
As far as
there are ways, okay.
As far as
right,
you
they'll give you, metformin or whatever it is, but you're on it forever, okay, and they're not going to take you off once you get started.
No.
Once
not.
They diagnose
yeah, but
you, they say, okay, that's it. They say you can't be cured, but I'm sure there is a cure. But
that's not true. I mean, there is many cures.
Yeah.
Like for type 2 diabetes, there's many, many cures for type 2 diabetes. I mean, there's a lot of tests that they don't even do. I mean, most people don't even know that type 2 diabetes, like so many things like connected to deficiencies that are connected to black people. Magnesium deficiency. The number 2-1 is vitamin D. Vitamin D is like a top one for us. That's why so many black people have type 2 diabetes. They need the most sun. They need the most vitamin D, and they're the one that get the least of it, and they're deficient. And that's connected to your bloodstream. That gives you diabetes. But they don't get tested for those things. The doctors, they're going to teach, give you what they don't know. They don't teach those things to doctors in med school. They teach them for every symptom, there's a synthetic drug. They don't teach you the natural remedy. You know,
that's
so
true.
It's about research and trying, you know, in the age of information overload, you can find so much, so many things, but the confusion is there's so much information out there. If you don't know, you don't know how to decipher what's right and what's wrong, so you get confused. But there's a lot of information out there.
But we have been conditioned to put our faith in the new religion, the religion of, you know, our doctors. That's what we've been conditioned to do that. You know, here's what's interesting. It might blow some of y'all minds. Some of you guys probably already on top of it. It is said in Revelation that 1/3 of the world will be destroyed by witchcraft. Do you know when you look the word witchcraft up and find out and look at the root of where it comes from? You know that word witchcraft come from? It's actually talking about drugs. 1/3
yep.
of the earth will be destroyed by drugs.
Yes, sir.
I ain't talking about illegal drugs. I'm talking about the ones that were prescribed, the witchcraft that takes place in the hospitals and the doctor's offices, takes place in the pharmaceutical companies, that witchcraft. Because if you think about what witchcraft is just supposed to be a how you combine herbs and whatever, right? That's all witchcraft
yep.
is.
Yeah, potion and yeah.
That's all it is. It's just a new, it's just a different snake oil by larger snake oil company. you know, that's all it is. You think about when you watch
those old
Western movies. And they had the people come around on the wagons that were selling snake oil. And how many of those people probably went on from there and started these pharmaceutical companies selling even more snake oil?
Yeah, but think about it, Robert, that more people, like, is it number two or number three reason so many thousands of people are dying every year is by doctor prescribing those, like you said, those drugs, they over giving it and they killing after heart disease and cancer. It's the number three reason killing the population today.
What?
Doctors and giving people prescriptions that are killing them.
Let me ask you, before we lose sight of the subject for the night, and that's a valid point, Chantal, and Wilbert and Linda, that those are all valid points. I don't want to end the show without offering some type of solution for black women that seek medical attention from the doctors. How should black women, knowing that there's a possibility that you're not going to get the correct or adequate support and help and care from the doctors, how do you, as a black woman, go in and demand that, or if it is a demand thing, how do you get that, knowing that this article says you're not getting it, and you should get it?
Well, Robert, I would say, like Linda say, to get an advocate with you, but my thing, personally, is to be equipped and to be prepared. I said never go into any situation unprepared. So if you have something going on with you and you know you need care, be educated about it. So don't go in there letting anybody bully you into, you know what's going on in your body. So if you know your heart is beating fast, you do your research. So when you go there, the doctor can just tell you, oh, that's nothing, you're nervous. You know, go lay down for a minute, you're going to calm down. You need to be like, oh, no, according to such and such, this is what's happening. These are the symptoms. These are things. So I need to be tested, and this is the test that I need to get done. You need to be educated. You need to be educated about yourself. That is key. And that's what we're not getting to our thick skull. We cannot expect people to care about us if we don't care about ourselves. So, you know, be educated and bring somebody as a backup. And demand that you get...
Do you think black women are not as in tune with their bodies as they used to be?
Oh, yes, sir. I am so
a lot
not
in tune
of it.
At all.
I'm sorry?
A lot aren't in tune at all. I
exactly.
You.
Thank
sometimes,
you
know, having a discussion with women sometimes, I'm not kidding. Sometimes I'm embarrassed for, you know, my sisters. You know, I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know what that doctor gave me. He gave me something. And I'm looking at them, are you friggin' kidding me? You are taking something. You don't even know what it is. Do you read, you know, about the side effects? What the heck? You know, I wish my doctor would. It's a conversation when I'm with my doctor. And if I go in the ER, you know, maybe I'm sick. I hope I have an advocate. When my daughter, when I took her to the ER, I had no problems walking. I said, I'm not feeling this. I said, come on, we're going to a different hospital. But we've got to be informed. And our people, when did we become such a dumb people that we don't care about ourselves? When did that happen?
Amen. You know, Robert, we talk about this all the time. And I tell you, I mean, I talk to so many women and men, but so many women. I mean, it's just such a disconnect. Like Linda said, it's embarrassing. It's like, why do you not care about you care about your hair. You want to make sure you get your hair did, your nails did. You spend hundreds of dollars on fake hair and fake nails and fake eyelashes. You do injections. You do all this stuff. But then when it comes to this vehicle that's helping you to continue, you don't really take time to research, really? You let somebody give you anything, and they're trying on you. Like, I hate to be going to doctors and they're telling you, oh, try this one. No, I'm not trying this one. You tell me, is it going to fix it? I'm not going through that, you know, guinea pig.
That is a painful thing because I tell you, and I say it again, I honestly believe that my mother still be here today. And subsequently, my father will also still be here today because he changed after he found her in her bed, passed away from a heart attack. If her doctor, who she went to see, had taken the give a care to send her to immediate emergency care when she described her symptoms to them, she could very well possibly still be alive today, and he would be also. So I have a bone to pick with the medical industry. Two.
Amen, bro.
I can't tell you how angry that made me to find out that she went to her doctor who had changed her prescription to something that she told him it was hurting her, but instead of him seeing her, he gave her a damn appointment.
Yeah, that's where the advocate comes in. That's where the advocate would have come in and say, oh, no, 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 no. She's not making this up.
I'm sorry, guys. I mean, that takes me back. And I've heard too many horror stories of my sisters, black women, checking into hospitals and not checking out, dying in the emergency rooms.
You know, can I share something with you, Robert? There's a doctor.
Not to cut you off, but my niece, my baby niece, passed away last year because she was complaining having these bloating, like Linda said, the bloating in your stomach, signs of a heart attack, congested heart failure. at 34 years old. That pisses me off. I'm sorry, Chantal. Go ahead.
No, that's no problem. One thing that I know that a very renowned doctor, he was practicing medicine for 60 years, and he says that, you know, the best way to make sure that you live a long life is to stay away from hospitals. Take that with a grain of salt.
That is unfortunate. That is unfortunate. That is unfortunate that we cannot safely check in and check out. I mean, that's another family member, but it's a male. One of my uncles, Uncle David Simmons, checked into the hospital to have a surgery done on his leg. They put him to sleep. He didn't wake up.
Man, that's messed up.
To this day, when a family member of mine go to a doctor, talk about doing an operation on them, I be like, look, don't let them put you to sleep. Find out whether or not you can do this thing without having been put to sleep, because that's like being close to being dead. Well, anyway, you know, we're at the end of another show, and I want to end the show on this song here and everything, and I hope you guys enjoy it as well.
Open the world of music.
I hope you guys can hear this.
Yeah, we can hear it.
Yolanda Adam, guys.
The wrong thing to do. I'm so afraid. Freedom is appalling you. So I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my mind feels so cloudy. Guide me up till I'm true. I thank you.
All right, guys. Love you very much. Enjoy your holiday. You know, enjoy your family. Remember those people that's not here with you anymore. Remember them. Call the names out. Let them know. Let the people that didn't know them know who they are and what they represent in your life. Let's not forget people just because they're gone on from this world. Enjoy your family tomorrow and this weekend, and take care of yourself until next Wednesday. This is your host, Rob Legend, telling you to love yourself and love those around you, and remember the people that have gone on before you. Good night.
Good night. Love you.